Good day out there, everyone. Happy Masters Week to those of us who follow such things. This is John Shomo, host of the Then and Now podcast. This is our seventh episode of our second season. This week, we will look at some historical events and birthdays, etc., from the week of April 9th through 15th. We'll take on four topics today. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but there's four things I really want to tackle today in our topic section. And then we'll answer last week's two out of three good questions that we got. I'll give you the answers this week. If you have a good question for us or a comment on the podcast at all, please send us an email at threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That's three, T-H-R-E-E, goodquestions@gmail.com. All right, let's get started with the facts for the week, starting with April 9th. On April 9th, 1865, at Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia, Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrendered to Union General Ulysses S. Grant, the Ohioan, to end, for all intents and purposes, the American Civil War. There were some skirmishes after April 9th, but that was really the end of the conflict. On April 9th, 2001, the beautiful ballpark on the north shore of the Allegheny River, PNC Park, home of the Pittsburgh Pirates, opened. The first regular season game was played there against the Cincinnati Reds. And Pittsburgh native Sean Casey homered in the first game. Actually, unfortunately, he played for the Reds then. But I'm sure that was a big moment for him. Five-time major champion in golf, Seve Ballesteros, was born April 9th, 1957. The flamboyant Spaniard who won a couple of green jackets himself. It always seems to happen on Masters Week that they celebrate Seve's birthday, and the European players particularly take great pride in that. All right, moving to April 10th, the first ever baseball game at Canal Park here in Akron, Ohio, took place. They were called the Akron Arrows at that time. They are the AA affiliate of the Cleveland then Indians. Both of those franchises have changed names now. They are the Rubber Ducks here in Akron and the Guardians up north. The first Arrows game at Canal Park, April 10th, 1997. The Arrows won behind young Jarrett Wright, who pitched that game and 6 months later pitched Game 7 of the World Series for the Cleveland Indians in Miami. John Madden, born April 10th, 1936. What an effect he had on football, not just as a coach, but his video game is legendary as well. And Corey Kluber will turn 39. Corey Kluber won the Cy Young Award twice while pitching here for the then Cleveland Indians. On April 11th, 1945, United States troops came upon the Nazi death camp at Buchenwald. Folks, never forget that it was our relatives who discovered some of the horrors that were left behind by Hitler's regime. Never forget. April 11th was also the birthday of the now late Ethel Kennedy. Ethel Kennedy, born April 11th, 1928, the widow of Senator Robert F. Kennedy, mother of the current Health and Human Services leader, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Among many, she had about a dozen kids, I think. Moving to April 12th. April 12th, 1861, Confederate troops began bombarding Fort Sumter, the American fort in the harbor of Charleston, South Carolina. That signaled the beginning of the American Civil War. The only casualty in the bombardment of Fort Sumter was a Confederate horse, but that war would lead to hundreds of thousands of casualties. On April 12, 1945, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt died at his winter home in Warm Springs, Georgia, of a massive cerebral hemorrhage. That was one of those days. I remember my parents talking about it quite a lot. My mom was in Wilmette, Illinois, living there while my father was halfway around the world in the Navy in the South Pacific. I remember their reactions to it. And my dad said the men on the ship had two reactions. One was genuine sadness at the death of Roosevelt, no matter what your politics were. He had led us through two of the greatest calamities in American history. But secondly, and I just quote my dad here, he said, a lot of them said, who in the hell is Harry Truman? Well, they would all find out, wouldn't they? But yeah, FDR passed away April 12th, 1945. 10 years later, on April 12, 1955, Dr. Jonas Salk's polio vaccine was deemed safe and effective for use. He never took a dime from that. He donated it to the world. Dr. Salk, quite a guy. On April 12, 1961, a human being went into outer space for the first time ever. His name was Yuri Gagarin. He was a Soviet cosmonaut. He went up and orbited the Earth one time. They were ahead of the United States in the so-called space race at that point in time. Birthdays on April 12th, David Letterman will turn 78. Former Ohio State great Cleveland native Ted Ginn Jr. will be 40. And our mom, Lois Shomo, would have been 99 on April 12th. We lost her way too early. On April 13th, the Boston Celtics won their first NBA title on April 13, 1957. A dramatic 125-123 double overtime win at the Garden against the St. Louis Hawks. Catch these stats. Bill Russell, 19 points, 32 rebounds. Tommy Heinsohn, the rookie, 37 points, 23 rebounds. Actually, Russell was a rookie, too. They won, and that began their streak of 11 championships in 13 years. The Beatles recorded Help in England on April 13, 1965. It was the theme song to their second feature film and really one of their best efforts, I think. Jack Nicklaus won his sixth Green Jacket at the advanced age of 45 or so. I forget what it was exactly, 45, 46 years old. On April 13, 1986, it's one of the magical days in Masters history, certainly. Speaking of the Masters, Tiger Woods won his first Green Jacket by 12 shots at the age of 21 on April 13, 1997. There was definitely a new sheriff in town after that. The birthday on April 13th that we want to mention is Thomas Jefferson, born April 13th, 1743. Moving to April 14th, President Lincoln was shot at Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C. on April 14th, 1865. As most of you know, he was watching at Ford's Theater the presentation of the play Our American Cousin when one of the most famous actors in the country, John Wilkes Booth, snuck up around the back of the theater and entered the president's box and fired the fatal shot, one of the horrible moments in American history. The Titanic struck an iceberg in the North Atlantic near midnight on April 14, 1914. Several birthdays I want to mention for April 14th. The now late Pete Rose. Pete Rose, born April 14th, 1941. The Reds will be honoring him posthumously in May, I believe, on May 14th this year. Steve Martin will turn 80 on April 14th. Can't believe he's 80 years old. The Hall of Fame pitcher Greg Maddux will be 59. 2017 Heisman Trophy winner from the Oklahoma Sooners, Tampa Bay quarterback Baker Mayfield, the former Browns QB, will be 30 on April 14th. And my father-in-law, Bill Hardgrove, will celebrate his 86th birthday on April 14th. Happy birthday, Bill. Finally, on April 15th, don't forget your taxes are due April 15th. That's tax day. President Lincoln died in the house across the street, the Peterson House, in Washington at 7:22 a.m. on April 15, 1865. Jackie Robinson played his first game for the Brooklyn Dodgers, breaking the Major League color barrier on April 15, 1947 at Ebbets Field against the then Boston Braves. More about the Dodgers here in a couple minutes. The Boston Marathon bombing, remember that tragic occurrence, horrible, took place near the finish line on April 15th, 2013. And four-time gold medalist Evelyn Ashford will be 68 years old on that date, April 15th. Okay, there are our facts and birthdays segment. There's our facts and birthdays segment for this week. I want to mention our tournament challenge winners. We had a podcast bracket contest, if you will, for both the women's and men's NCAA tournaments. The Women's Tournament Challenge was won by none other than that noted basketball expert, Tamara Hardgrove Shomo. Her Reds Brackets entry, and I want to tackle that here in a sec, topped the group with 1,650 points. She edged Jeff Cole out by a mere 10 points. Adriana Morquesho finished third. She was strong in both contests, actually. Red Bracket was Tammy's grandfather, He's a great guy. Lived to be 102 years old. He died 5 or 6 years ago. Red was a good guy to just sit around with, and he loved watching his sports, and he loved the local teams and so forth. So she honored him by naming her entry in the Women's Tournament Challenge, Red's Brackets. And by golly, there's a win for Red. So congratulations, Tammy, for getting that win. In the Men's Tournament Challenge, Florida's 65-63 comeback win, as we record this last night, made Alec Livingston our champion, besting your humble host, who had Houston going all the way. Alec had Florida, and that was the difference. Houston led right up until the bitter end, but couldn't hang on. Nick Brausch took third place. Congratulations to Nick. I'll try not to be too bitter there, because Alec's a good guy, and he won, and he's the champ. So way to go, Alec. Okay. Second topic. The Los Angeles Dodgers, I mentioned earlier, are in Washington, D.C. this week to play the Nationals. They accepted an invitation to visit the White House on Monday morning prior to their Monday evening game against the Washington Nats. Personally, I was disappointed to see the team of Jackie Robinson, Don Newcomb, and Roy Campanella accept that invitation from the current occupant of the White House. I realize that would be a very difficult decision for the ball club, but those three men and others that I mentioned went through a lot of difficult things during the late 1940s and 50s to make the sport of baseball and the country a better place. Part of the Dodger ownership group, and I think they need to answer some questions. Part of the ownership group are two people that most folks know, Irvin Magic Johnson and Billie Jean King, the great tennis star. They were not at the White House yesterday. They were out in Los Angeles, where Billie Jean King was presented with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame for her fabulous tennis career. I don't know whether that was planned or not. But I was kind of glad to see that they at least did not make the pilgrimage to the White House yesterday. The day ended with the Dodgers losing to the Washington Nationals in Washington 6-4. My opinion serves them right at least for one day. Not a big fan of that visit right there. Okay, number three, dumb mistakes department. I'm going to hold my Pittsburgh Pirates feet to the fire here a little bit. Fans attending the Pirates' home opening series this past weekend versus the New York Yankees were surprised to see a new advertisement near the right field foul pole on the 21-foot-high Clemente Wall. That advertisement replaced a sign honoring the late Pirates' great. It was a Clemente 21 sign that was affixed next to the foul pole there on the fence. To be fair, there's several tributes to Roberto Clemente around PNC Park, a big statue, his number retired plaque, and so forth. But the removal of that sign caught the attention of many Pittsburghers, as well as the Clemente family. Roberto Clemente Jr. wrote a letter expressing the disappointment of the Clemente family to see the sign taken down. The club issued a statement on Sunday apologizing for the move and promising to restore the signage as soon as possible. There's one thing you can't do if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you can't take a sign down that honors Roberto Clemente. The Pirate fans were pretty furious. That's something that you just can't get away with in Pittsburgh. It may seem pretty innocuous. I mean, it's not like they removed everything from there, but it's a dumb mistake. You can't do that in that place, particularly in right field. For goodness sakes. Okay. Number four, tariffs. Let's talk about tariffs here for a minute. I know we've mentioned it on previous podcasts, but President Trump's quote yesterday encapsulates what he cares about. And let me quote him. Quote, we were at our richest, from 1870 to 1913. That's when we were a tariff country. And then they went to an income tax concept. I want to get that quote right. It's fine. It's okay. But it would have been very much better if we had stayed a tariff country. All right. Sure, Don. Let's also remember that there was a financial panic during that time period, those 40-some years, every 5 or 6 years or so. It was indeed a great time if your last name was Carnegie, Rockefeller, or Vanderbilt. The top 1% really had it great from 1870 to 1913. Otherwise, the rest of us, not us living, but the rest of us normal folks, had zero protections, and workers' working conditions were brutal. At least people like Carnegie and Rockefeller, rich people beyond belief at the time, donated hundreds of millions of dollars to charities, built things like community libraries, donated land to the park system, as Rockefeller did, and to the United Nations and so forth. They had a lot of charitable contributions. Now, they, on the other side, they didn't really treat their workers very well, and let's not forget that. But at least they gave back to their communities, unlike the Trump family. And I just thought that just encapsulates where Donald Trump is. He cares about the 1%. He thinks the country was greatest during the time that the 1% was king and the 99% lived very poor lives. So buckle up, people. Okay. Let's move on to our three good questions segment. Again, if you have a question, please send it to us at our email address, threegoodquestions@gmail.com, T-H-R-E-E, goodquestions@gmail.com. Last week, we asked two questions, and we'll give you the answers here this week. We'll need some questions for next week, so send them in if you can. The first question was, where were the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights stored during the Second World War? Normally, they are at, and they could be viewed today, at the National Archives in Washington, D.C. After Pearl Harbor, it was decided that they'd better take them to a place that was safer than someplace in Washington. They were worried about, terrorist attack, quote unquote, or something like that. So they moved the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights to Fort Knox, Kentucky, where the gold is stored. That was easier to guard, and it was, surrounded by troops. After all, it's a fort, an army fort. So that's what happened with the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights during the Second World War. Kind of interesting, really. The second question last week, there's only one of the 30 Major League Baseball franchises that has never suffered a 100-loss season. Which franchise is it? The answer is somewhat surprising. It would be the Angels, the Los Angeles, California, Anaheim, Los Angeles Angels. They have gone through a few name changes over the years. Founded in 1961 as part of the American League expansion that year with the Minnesota Twins and the new Washington Senators. The LA Angels have never suffered a 100-loss season. Their worst season was last year, 2024, when they went 63-99. They'll do better than that this year. They just kind of beat the Guardians 2 out of 3 out there this past weekend. Mike Trout seems healthy. Thank goodness for baseball. That's a great thing for the sport. He is one of the great stars of baseball, and they missed him most of last season with an injury. So the LA Angels, I don't think they're going to lose 100 this year. They have never suffered a 100-loss season in their history. So good questions there. Thank you to Jeff Cole for those. Again, if you have a good question or a comment about the podcast, get in touch with us at threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That's kind of a whirlwind trip through a lot of stuff here this week. Have a great week, everybody. We appreciate all of you listeners. You can get us on Spotify. Find us on Spotify. It's Then and Now with your host, John Shomo. That's me. Have a great week, everybody. Take care, and we'll talk to you next week.